We've been sharing on the subject. Worshiping the Father. And I really encourage you to study this more. We're just on the tip of it. I know it's changed my life. I think one of the things that really got me started on this study years ago was the Lord began dealing with me about winning the loss and he began to share with me that in order for the world to see God as he really is and then come to him, the church, the believers, have to see God as he really is first. Now, that's very simple, but it's very profound. In order for the world to see God as he has revealed himself, the people who are worshiping him must see him as he has revealed himself to the believers first. And one thing about it, just from my observation, there has not been a lot of teaching on God the Father. We shared how, a little quick review, people are familiar in the body of Christ with Christology, which is the study of Christ, his person and his work. They are familiar with pneumatology. All the seminaries have those two in it, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. But very few seminaries, let alone preachers preaching on it, very few seminaries teach preachers on God the Father. Now, they may have the subject God proper, which is a subject in seminary that deals with the attributes of God, and they classify that as teaching on God the Father. But it's very different. It's very different. God is a title. God, the word God, the name God came into existence not too long ago from Europe because it's not in the original Hebrew or Greek text. And Europeans came up with God based on God being good. So they took an O out and put God. How many followed that just then? That's where the word God comes from, the name God comes from. It's a title. But you look in the Old Testament, God personally introduces himself as the I Am. That's his personal name that he has revealed to the nation of Israel. And in the New Testament, in our dispensation, God's personal name revealed to his family of believers is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a name. That's not a title. That's not a formula to baptize people in. That's his name. And it took me a long time to really grasp that because I thought I had been taught so long that it was a formula for baptism. But that's the name that he's revealed to the body of Christ, to his family. And one of the most important things, well, really it's the basis of all Christianity, is his name, his triune name, that he's a triune being. the Trinity. Now, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the word Godhead is. And Godhead is a name or a title that expresses his triune nature, his whole essence, his whole substance, his whole being. So if someone says, you know, Trinity is not in the Bible, say Godhead is. And so what has happened, because, and I'm trying not to rehash what we've already taught, but I have to in some cases. What has happened, just because an author writes a book, the book, how many remember this? Let me see your hands. How many have not heard this yet about the author analogy? How many don't care? Because some of y'all not raising your hand on anything. How many are alive? Okay, we still got a few dead people in here. They didn't raise it. Okay, just bear with me. The author has a best-selling book. That book is going to turn into a movie. They look for an actor. They find that actor, make the movie. The agent goes out and publicizes the actor and the author of the book. That movie becomes a blockbuster. The word blockbuster comes from when Jaws first came out and people were standing. I'll go all on off track, but and people were standing around the block, so it was blockbuster. That's probably the only thing some of y'all gonna remember. But anyway, the movie becomes a big seller. Who gets the awards at the award show? The agent? The actor is predominantly the main one, you know. The author, you know, that's not the director. The author is the one that wrote the script. And we praise the actor because we what? We see him. We see him. We saw the work that he did in the movie. That analogy is what I believe God gave me to explain why the emphasis has been on the Son, Jesus. We saw, we have recorded in history the work he did for the drama. Not only that, we can identify with Jesus because we saw what he went through for us. Oh, how he suffered for me. How he bled, how he just did all for my salvation. But it's the Father who sent his only begotten Son because he's the one that loved the world. Substitute the word from now on, John 3:16, the Father so loved the world. We can identify with Jesus because what we know he did, what we saw him do, what we read that he did for us. And most people say, I can identify. I love him. But because we don't see the Father, we say, well, I don't really identify with him. I know he's I know he's our Father. But they don't seek to pursue an intimate relationship with him because they're so consumed with Jesus. Now, I am not saying stop being consumed with Jesus. But somehow, we have to allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit to make the Father as real to us as Jesus is. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret. For years, the body of Christ know that there's a last great revival coming. Right before the rapture, God is going to do miracles and signs and wonders, and then we're going to get raptured. But let me tell you this. The Father will send the Spirit in revival when he knows his body has matured to a point that he sees him as the triune God. Listen very closely. Ephesians 4 says that we come unto a full-grown man. Body is in unity. All the believers are in their part, and they're manifesting the presence of God. That's right before the rapture. But that mature man only comes when he is worshiping the God of his salvation as the God of his salvation has revealed himself. That's when the body is mature, when they see God as he really is, even though that's a future event too, but maturity is when you view the triune God as the triune God. There's very few messages on the Trinity, let alone the Father. We have to see God as he has revealed himself, the God of our salvation. It's a sad thing when the body of Christ does not see God as he has revealed himself to be. We only see Jesus. And every once in a while, we're bumping to the Father from a song. That's going to change, people. It has to change. Your maturity is gauged by that. Listen, you can gauge a strong part of your maturity on your view of God. Are you intimate with the Father as you are with the Son? And the Spirit's ministry is to bring that intimacy to you and making it real. And I'm hoping this is not some type of abstract sermon. I'm telling you, your life as a believer will be changed when you begin to see the Father and the Son and the Spirit, especially the Father, though. My life was altered in one major way when I began to fellowship and begin to see the Father more. In the Sermon on the Mount, which we said was the sermon about the Father, in Matthew 6, Jesus begins to talk about worry. And his main point was this: your key to not worrying is having an intimate, vibrant, real relationship with your Heavenly Father. Now, when I saw that, I thought, well, I thought Jesus was enough. You know, lay all my burdens on Jesus. You know, let Jesus take care of it. But Jesus said something different. He said, your Father, your Heavenly Father will care for you. Now, that's a small thing, but it's a huge thing. I began to shift all my prayers to my Heavenly Father to take care of things. Not my brother, not the Lord Jesus Christ, my brother, but my Father. And you really have to shift your mindset to begin to think that way. But Jesus was endeavoring to get us to shift our focus to the Father and give it to the Father. All your worries, because you know he cares for you. You know he won't give you anything that's evil or hurtful. That one thing changed my whole worry life because I began to put my trust in a Father who cares for me. We shared, like I said, pedagogy is the study of the Father. It's such a foreign word, even in Bible schools. Most Bible students, most seminary teachers don't even know that word. That's scary. The word or name Father means founder, originator, and source. The word Father or the name Father means founder, originator, or source, beginner. Just like our founding fathers, they're the men who originated, who started this nation. Now, what will happen when this message begins to become more prevalent, you're going to have women who are going to buck it because they're mothers. Mother Earth. Mother God. You have Bibles now being made from a feminine point of view. They're wondering, why does God has to be a father? Look at the definition. We're not talking about gender. That's what they're talking about. God has no gender. It's not about man or female, masculine or feminine. It's the definition of the word father. That was free. But you have to know that when you get up against, and they're going to be on the increase, because this message is going to be on the increase. This message, God is going to begin to require that ministers all over the world at least touch it on it occasionally, but some are going to be ordained to spread this message, because this message is going to have to be taught. Let me give you an analogy. I like you to put your hand over your mouth. And I want you to count to five. Leave some space for your mouth. But when you count, I want you to notice that breath is hitting your hand as you count. Go ahead and count. Can you feel the breath? Whenever the Father speaks his wisdom, he does it through his word, the Son, and the wind of the Holy Spirit manifests. Say it again. This is a major principle. When the wisdom of the Father speaks, he speaks through his word, the Son, and the power or wind of the Spirit is released. That's how he created. Now, that's not my subject because we can go into a lot of it, but that will give you an idea what it means that the triune God created everything. Because you'll read a scripture that says, what Jesus created. I thought Jesus created. No, I thought God created, the Father created. That'll give you the principle of how God does everything. Does that make sense? I wish we can go there, but I was giving you, when we're saying that the revival is coming and the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out, the principle is this: the Father will speak through his word to send his power, which is the wind of the Holy Spirit. Because we're thinking that one day God's going, he's going to pour out the Holy Spirit. That's enough. Let's give him a little more. The Father will speak the word through his Son, and the wind or power of the Spirit will be released. That's how he does everything. Okay, where do we go from here, Lord? Going back to the word named Father means founder, originator, source. John 8:44 calls Satan, the father of lies, the father, you are of your father. He was talking to the Pharisees. What does that mean? Well, he is the originator, the source of all sin, which caused all sin nature in man. So the word father has nothing to do with male or gender. We must be born again into the family of God. You ever heard the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man? That's an old statement. Well, God is Father in a way of he created everybody. But he's not the Father spiritually of everybody. There are religions, there are cults that believe, universalism is the main one, that everybody is a creation and a child of God. And everybody's going to heaven, no matter what you do. The shack, the book, the movie, that's the basis of that teaching. Acts 17:29 says that all are offsprings of God, and that's not saying everyone is born of God, a Christian. It's saying that God created everybody, the offspring of creation. Now, like I said before, my desire is for you to either grab notes on this, get the CDs or whatever, because some of you are going to be teaching this. This is not just for you. Many of you are going to be ministers. I mean, you don't know it yet. See, some of you are saying, what? Just believe me. Many of you are going to be ministers. If not ministers, you're going to be teachers. And this is one of the most, if not the most important subject that you can teach on, your knowledge of God. I mean, folks, that sums it up. What you think about God when you hear God is the most important thing about you. is going to determine whether you go and live with him in eternity or be judged throughout eternity. What you think about God, your knowledge of God, your knowledge of God is the only thing that you're going to be able to take with you when you go to heaven. So it behooves us to seek this out. And it doesn't matter which age you are. Here's my desire. This is my desire. My desire is to teach this to high school people. That's my desire. Most parents get locked into their child being incapable to understand or grasp. You should be letting your child hear sermons. Okay, here we go. I'm I'm not saying disband the youth. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. Boy, I felt a sinking spot just then, boy. I had to. If you feel your child needs to go to youth, that's fine. I'm just trying to give you another perspective. You know what's very interesting? The Jewish custom has no such thing as teenager. You know when their children started going to the adult class? 13. Americans, I don't know, man. My child can't comprehend that. You will be surprised. That's why the majority of the believing children, teenagers, are so bored. Come on. They're not being challenged with messages like this. Oh, they ain't gonna be able to handle it, brother. Are they born again? Yeah. Do they have the Holy Spirit in them? Do you trust the Holy Spirit? Is the question. I'm trying to stay on track, folks. I hadn't even got to my message yet, but I'm getting there. I'm getting closer. Okay, I'm getting there. Let's hurry up. Okay. Many don't know who the Father is, what he is like, and what he is doing. They have a wrong image of him based on how their earthly father treated them. Yeah, true. They have a mental block there. God the Father is seen as the first person of the Trinity. You have the first person, the Father, the second person, the Son, the third person, the Holy Spirit. When we say persons, we're not talking about like us people. And I don't want to get into all that because you go into the Greek and Latin and all that, but they're Greek terms that endeavor to explain this, but folks, we as believers, as humans, will never comprehend God's essence and God's persons, what it actually really means. Our finite minds, you know, think of this. Here you have a being who created the universe, and the universe is still growing. Because when he spoke, he didn't say stop. Something to think about. And think of it this way. You know, it's still expanding out, but it's still expanding in the micro sense. Anyway. And for us to grasp this being, what he is just, you know, your brain will cramp up on you. It will lock. Because it's, look at it this way. Here's another thing to think about. God is an infinite God. Okay. That means he has no bounds. He's I don't need no English word for it. I mean, he's huge. He's really huge. He's really big. Really big. Okay. He's bigger than the universe that he created,
right,
that's still going.
That's
right. Wait a minute. Okay, I just almost cramped up on myself right there. But think of this. His nature, his attributes. We know his attributes as goodness, long-suffering, gracious, grace, omniscience, omnipresent. And you go to seminary and you learn these attributes. His attributes are infinite.
Yes.
We're going to be learning all throughout infinity about him. Attributes no one has seen. The angels hadn't seen. Let's say a zillion attributes. And that's probably first grade. And so we are trying to grasp through the Holy Spirit a being that big and enormous and whose wisdom is beyond comprehension. And he's invited us to become a part of his intimate fellowship with himself. And the angels can only look and wonder how that feels. Because they're not invited. They are our servants. So the first does not mean rank. He's first in rank or dignity or divinity. But it's talking about order. This is very important. They, all three are equal in substance and nature and essence. God the Father is all wise. God the Son is all wise. God the Spirit is all wise. All the attributes, all three are. But in the operation of anything that God, the triune God, does, the Father is the one who initiates it. The Father initiates everything. The Son is the one that implements it. And the Spirit imparts it to everyone. Y'all get that? Its order, its role, they all have, even though they're union, they are unity in essence, they are unique in their roles, their responsibilities, their functions. Everything that God does, the triune God does, is a Trinitarian act. All three are operating, even if you don't understand or you don't see it. Jesus came to earth and says, I do nothing unless I see and hear my Father say it first. Now, Jesus went in his earthly ministry as a human who laid aside his privileges as God and said, I will not touch that. Because Jesus, you know, Jesus had to be all human and be on this earth as a human because Adam as a human failed. And God the Father set it up that some human was going to have to walk perfect before me so he could redeem all mankind. Only one perfect. If I could find only one perfect person. So he couldn't find. So he sent his son. He walked perfectly. And he fulfilled the requirements that the Father had to redeem man back. So Jesus operated, he had to operate as a man, anointed by the Spirit of God. He couldn't use any of his godhood, even though he was still God. Philippians 2 says he laid that aside because he had to be a man who couldn't use supernatural powers to redeem man. So when Jesus was in his earthly ministry, he said, the Father is greater than I. What was he talking about? As a human, he was saying that God was greater. In some instances, he would say, God and I are one. Okay, which one is it? I'm telling you. Some instances he dealt with his divinity. And in some instances he dealt with his humanity. The Father is first because he was not begotten. Begotten means, you know, when it says his only begotten son, the word begotten means brought forth and set apart into a position of honor. It's very important because of this one thing. It was the Son who was begotten, not the Father. It was the Father who begot the Son. You remember in the Old Testament, you got all those begot this one, and this one begot that. It's just saying that that person proceeded from that other person. But the Father is not begotten. That's my point. He's the first. The word and the wind comes from the Father. He's, if you could just hear me out, he's the main one who's the fountain of the deity. This old church father, Origen, said he's the fountain of deity, talking about the Father. In the way of the Son is begotten and the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. You remember Jesus said, we're going to send this Spirit, you know, that's going to come from my Father. Hello out there. Are y'all all right?
Yeah, we hear you. Keep on going.
sometimes it's just difficult to preach on when I hear see people's eyes rolling back. You know. How many are with me so far? Okay. I want to get this out to you and in you. I know how it has changed my life. I'm talking about, and I was saved, minister. The Father is first because he's the source of all that the Godhead does. He is first in function, operation, and order. There is no subordination within the Trinity. And they're not sitting there up there competing. Oh, it's Jesus, you know, I'm trying. Let me think of something before my dad think of it. Holy Spirit, you know, I know my ministry is to show them, but I'm just going to get a little bit, you know. It's no competition. And that's the analogy of the community within the Trinity that the Father before the rapture is going to have within the body.
That's right.
Can you believe that? Can you believe the body is going to get to a place of maturity right before the rapture where it's not going to be, look at her. She thinks she's something. Look at her. Look at her prophesying. I can prophesy too. I just don't want to. Or ministers competing. Well, it lifted. Next time I get to my sermon, I didn't get one to any of my slides. But I want you to see this. This is one of the most important things that a believer will ever learn. The nature of the God that he serves. Let's bow for prayer. Father, right now, we just thank you for teaching us about yourself. Let a hunger and a desire to know and learn more about you increase by your Spirit.